Welcome to It's the ADHD Friendly Show, where we explore all things productivity, well-being, and living our best damn ADHD lives at home and at work. My name is Karen McGill. I'm a certified ADHD life coach, and I'm here to help you do life better.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, y'all. Happy Friday. It's been a minute since I've done a personal intro to my podcast, so I thought I would pop in today and just say hello. Today's podcast is on emotional regulation, and this is something near and dear to my heart because it's something I've been going through a lot lately. So when I say that I'm sharing like personal experience and practical tools that I'm using, I really do mean it. I mean, especially in this podcast. And this is, again, just part of a series that I'm doing right now for adults with ADHD who have newly been diagnosed, and they just need to figure out what it is and what are like the major themes that they need to be aware of. So first we kicked it off with a high-level overview of what executive dysfunction is, and then we got into energy management, and then we talked about ADHD-friendly productivity and how to get past procrastination and overwhelm. And today we are addressing those big emotions because emotional regulation is something a lot of us struggle with more than anything else. And to that end, you probably noticed that I released two podcasts today. So there's the one you're listening to right now, and then the second one is a standalone tool that I wanted to record separately so that you could go back to it as often as you like to help yourself regulate your emotions and feel better in the moment. So I hope you find this helpful. And without further ado, let's get into the podcast. Y'all, if you are somebody who has big emotional reactions to life events, if maybe you've been told that you're just a little bit extra, maybe you blow up at people when you get triggered, or you have an overly exuberant reaction to great news, if any of those things apply to you and you feel like it's holding you back in life and in your relationships, then this is for you. We are talking about emotional regulation and why it's so hard for ADHDers to control our emotions in the moment. I'm going to give you some tools that I hope might help you sustain better emotional control over time in your life, and also control in those moments when you're triggered to not overreact and just sort of pull back a minute and have a more thoughtful or intentional response to triggering situations. And we're going to kick this off with a definition of what healthy emotional regulation looks like according to Dr. Russell Barkley. Number one is being able to control or inhibit any sort of inappropriate response to a triggering situation that comes up. Number two is being able to self-soothe or downregulate your own nervous system when you do get triggered. Number three is being able to control your attentional experience in triggering situations. So are you spending a lot of time ruminating, or are you able to let a situation be for a minute so you can focus on what's most important in the moment? That one's really hard. And number four is being able to manage and organize your emotions over time so that you can actually achieve your longer term goals as it relates to a triggering situation or relationship or however else it shows up for you. So those are the four definitions of healthy emotional regulation. Whether you're a toddler or a grown-ass adult, we all struggle with emotional dysregulation at some point. It's not just an ADHD thing, it is a human experience thing. Sometimes we fly off the handle or say things and do things that we regret. But when you have ADHD and you already struggle with a lot of impulsivity, it makes these emotional reactions a lot more exaggerated and hard to control in the moment. So I wanted to make that comparison and distinction because it's really important to understand with ADHD, a lot of the situations that we encounter are generally things that most humans deal with, but they tend to be more prolonged and pervasive, and they're a lot more severe. So I want to take you to an example that came in from a reader who talked about the struggles she's having with emotional dysregulation. Tell me if you can relate to this. My most challenging issues is with emotions. When I get upset, I get very upset to the point where there's no return pretty quickly. I end up depressed for days, crying, and sleeping. I definitely suffer from the RSD part of ADHD. I feel like people don't like me. I find that my husband doesn't like me, and any criticism I hear is so painful. There's a lot of things that she wrote in there that may have to do with comorbid conditions. Like if she can't get out of bed because she's so angry at herself, that could be a sign of depression or anxiety. And in that case, I would absolutely recommend that she seek medical care to address those situations because they can be addressed. RSD, which stands for rejection sensitive dysphoria, is something that a lot of ADHDers struggle with because whether it's perceived or real, we can take a situation where we feel like we're being rejected and blow it out of proportion. And then, of course, react in proportion to how it feels internally. So that can be a huge emotional trigger for us and something that I have personally dealt with. And it makes for some pretty uncomfortable emotions, especially if you're walking through life thinking that people don't like you or that your spouse doesn't like you. I have dealt with those feelings myself, and I can say firsthand that it's really heavy and it can really taint your reactions to anything if you're always living through the lens of feeling like people don't like you. It's going to color every experience you have when you meet a new person or start a new job or anything like that. And you're constantly going to be in the state of protection mode and hypervigilance, thinking that if the world doesn't really like you or cares for you, that you've always got to protect yourself and be on guard. And of course, that leads to living a life of wearing a mask and trying to be something so that other people like you, as opposed to just investing your energy in being the best version of yourself and loving yourself. And the truth is, and lean in, because I really want you to hear this, most people aren't thinking about you. They aren't thinking about whether they like you or don't like you. Most people are consumed with their own life. That is the human experience at the end of the day. So if you can at least change that narrative from people don't like me to people generally aren't thinking about me. They're busy dealing with their own lives. So maybe they're neutral towards me. And I am sure there are people in your life that genuinely love you, but you're probably just not focusing on it. You're focusing on those experiences of real or perceived rejection and making very globalized decisions about how everybody feels about you based on those circumstances. So number one, she is sharing that she has a hard time controlling inappropriate responses when she gets triggered. She's also sharing that she doesn't have these tools to calm herself down in the moment. All of the experiences that this reader so vulnerably shared can be viewed through this lens of emotional regulation. And when she gets into a state of dysregulation, she can't really control her inappropriate impulses. She doesn't really have those tools to self-soothe, and she can't really take her attention away from an argument that she'll have with a family member and then be able to parse that from anything else that she has to do in a regular day-to-day life. So what can this particular person do in this situation to improve her emotional regulation skills and move from this reactive mode to a more calm and intentional approach to triggering situations that come up on the daily? Well, that's what we're going to get into now. And I want to break this down into two different ways of approaching healthy emotional regulation. Number one, they're the skills that you need to practice in the moment when a triggering situation comes up. Number two is looking at tools we can use to just manage our nervous system better so that we show up on the daily more calm and socially engaged so that when these triggering situations do come up, we're not necessarily quite as reactive. So let's use this example of a reader who tends to have triggering arguments with her family members and overreacts and then feels terrible for days. In the moment, if she could pause long enough to recognize what is about to happen, that is the most important thing that she can do to change the trajectory of what happens next. When you give your nervous system a chance to pause in a triggering moment, you give yourself the opportunity to move past the limbic system, which is that very reactionary lizard brain reaction to triggering situations, and gives your prefrontal cortex, your executive functions, a minute to comprehend what's happening. If you're able to give yourself that 1 or 2 second pause, That will give you enough time to do the next step. The next thing she would then do is take one or two deep breaths. Now, we're not making this a big dramatic sigh, which is just going to make the situation even worse, but an exhale, a big exhale. What that is going to do is help you self-soothe and down-regulate in the moment so you don't react. From that point, you can either decide to say something that's a little bit more intentional and thoughtful, or even better, if you have the opportunity, remove yourself from the environment. If you're in the kitchen having an argument, just say, I need to just pause here for a second and collect myself, and then we'll talk in a second. Go out of the room, and if you can, go outside and start walking. Walk around the block, go up and down the driveway. Here's the thing. The actual process of bilateral movement, of putting one foot in front of the other, will help you process raw emotion. So remove yourself from the situation and go for a quick spin around the block if you can. If you are able to do that, what I then want you to do is put your eyes on something in your space or awareness that calms you down, whether it's a tree outside, a picture of your kid, maybe it's your pet sitting on the bed wondering why you're so angry. No matter what it is, find a visual image of something that calms you down, and I want you to focus on it. This is a visual way of stimulating your nervous system to self-soothe. And if you don't have anything available to gaze upon, think of something in your head, something that calms your nervous system, a pet, a friend, something non-triggery. Just put it in your head and think about it. Anything you can do to bring your thoughts into a more neutral place is going to help you from escalating those feelings of anger and frustration that you have. Now, let's say you can't remove yourself from the environment. You can't walk. You're in the car having an argument with your spouse. You can still pause. You can still take a few deep breaths and think about the next intentional action, which might be asking your spouse if you can have a conversation about this later after you've had some time to cool off or think about things. Or maybe you can say something that will de-escalate the situation rather than add fuel to the fire. Now, I know that's a lot to ask when you're feeling heated in the moment and you already struggle with impulsivity, but those are the tools that I would really recommend practicing the next time a triggering situation comes up. Hey, this is Karen from Tomorrow, and I'm popping into this video again because I've been thinking a lot about what I've shared so far and what I'm going to share next. First of all, I just want to acknowledge, based on what I shared about pausing in the moment and taking a deep breath and walking away, that is obviously the best advice that I can give anyone who struggles with emotional dysregulation. But the problem, which I was again reminded of yesterday when I had a very aggravating retail experience, is that it's really hard to capture that moment between stimulus and response where you can actually pause and pick a different response to whatever is triggering you. So first, I just want to acknowledge that that can be really difficult. And with that, I want to share with you some of the tools that I've been using recently because I'll be honest, I have been very emotionally reactive lately for a number of reasons. I've shared that there's just a lot of stuff going on in our lives right now, and I've had this feeling of overwhelm for the past couple of months that I haven't been able to get a handle on. And as a result of that overwhelm, I find that I'm being way more reactive to just dumb stuff than I typically am. So here's what I've been doing to try and mitigate that emotional reactivity before it even starts so that I don't need to pause in the moment and try to react differently. First of all, I'm really working on my interoceptive skills. I've talked about interoception before. It's basically being in touch with whatever's happening in your body, because when rage starts, it doesn't necessarily happen up here. It starts here and moves up, and it has to get past the limbic system in the brain to get to your prefrontal cortex in order for you to pause and think of a smart response to a triggering situation. And that's not always easy. So if we can start here in our bodies and feel rage before it even starts to muster up, then we have a better chance of actually interacting with it. So that's interoception, feeling what's happening below the neck. And the three things that I'm doing right now to really dial in that interoceptive skill is, number one, increasing the amount of yoga that I do. Now, I've talked about yoga a lot. I've been doing it for like 20 years. I don't do it every day, maybe like a couple of times a week, But I have been dialing that up even more recently because I find when I'm doing slow, methodical movements to intentional breath, it really helps me calm my nervous system and get into my body where I'm then able to explore how I'm feeling in my body. Yoga is a great way to introduce your brain to what's happening below the neck. The other thing that I got out of the habit of doing religiously, and I'm bringing myself back to it, is heart coherence exercises. I've talked about this before too, and I'm going to share a little bit more of it at the end of this video. It's going to be a separate video so you can go back to it and use it yourself if you want to. But essentially, it's connecting to the emotions in your heart and being intentional about the emotions you want to have in your heart and then locking it in and then emanating it out. I'll explain the exercise and practice in a minute, but let me tell you that is one of the best ways and is scientifically proven to help with emotional regulation and interoception skills. The last thing I'm doing to improve that interoceptive ability and to reduce my emotional reactivity is to practice yoga nidra, or scientifically it's called NSDR, which stands for non-sleep deep rest. Now this looks a lot like meditation, but it's different. You do it lying down. You can put a little eye cover over your head if you like and a pillow behind your knees. So it's not strenuous and you're not trying to deliberately remove all thoughts from your brain, which can be really hard. Instead, what you're doing is listening to somebody guiding you through a practice where they're literally introducing you to different parts of your body. So it's kind of like a body scan, but a little bit different. And what NSDR has been proven to do is shift you into a state of very deep rest. You might end up falling asleep, which is fine, but if you don't fall asleep, when you finish an NSDR session, you're gonna feel very well rested, like you just had this amazing night of sleep and you just feel calm, peaceful, and relaxed. I can 100% guarantee that if you try this practice, you are going to feel a lot more relaxed at the end of the session. And that's really going to help you manage your reactivity when it comes up in life. So definitely just search YouTube for yoga nidra sessions or NSDR and see what comes up. Pick something that looks interesting and just try it and see what happens. I think you're going to love it. A couple of things that I've also been more intentional with lately is getting more sleep. I've always been very serious about my sleep, but lately with all the stress I've been under, I've been waking up in the middle of the night. So if I do wake up at like 2 or 3 a.m., as my brain loves to do, I will use yoga nidra to bring me back into sleep. And I always feel way more rested when I wake up the following morning. A few other self-care practices I've been really intentional about lately is, first of all, breathing. I don't know about you, but I tend to breathe very shallow and in my chest, and I'm not typically aware of it. And when I do become aware of it, I can literally feel how my body's almost gasping for breath, like it is right now. So yeah, my breathing has been really shallow lately, which is probably why I'm feeling so anxious and tense. And immediately when I become aware of it and I start taking more deep breaths, I start to calm down. So that is something, if I were ever to get a tattoo on my wrist, it would be a reminder to myself to breathe because I have a tendency not to do that. So anyways, those are the things that I'm doing. I know I threw a lot at you and it's not like I'm perfectly consistent with any one of these, but I pick and choose in the moment depending on how I feel, and just being aware of it and knowing what tools I have at my disposal to work through it has been really helpful for me. And I hope in turn sharing this has been in some way helpful for you too. So bottom line, the more we can regulate our emotions, the more we have access to our prefrontal cortex, which gives us the ability to be thoughtful and intentional about the choices we make and the steps that we take and the things that we do in our life. And the more thoughtful and intentional we are, the smoother and more easeful our life tends to be, which is what we all want at the end of the day, right? So before we wrap up, I want to share with you one more tool that has been scientifically proven to help with emotional regulation. And that is a method I learned through the Heart Math Institute. You can do this absolutely anywhere or anytime, but I'm not going to put it in this podcast. I'm going to put it in a separate podcast that I'm also releasing today so that it's a standalone audio clip that you can come back to whenever you feel like you need a little emotional regulation glow up. So on that note, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast and I'll see you next week. Bye for now. Do you struggle with way too many ideas and no clear plan of getting any of them done? Is overwhelm paralyzing you from moving forward with your dreams and goals? Well, you're not alone, my friend. That was me too for the first 50 years of my life. But once I had my diagnosis and a concrete reason for my lack of follow-through, I went ham on trying to find a way to manage it. And that is exactly what I did. Today, I am organized, I'm thoughtful about what I take on, and I am living my best ADHD life as a result. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it is intentional, it's consistent, and I have a lot more peace because of it. And I want that for you too. Distraction to Action is my short, fun productivity bootcamp designed especially for the ADHD brain. It is loaded with ideas and tools based on the latest research on how our neurodivergent brains work, and it can help you unlock your own ADHD brain so that you can focus on what's most important and finally follow through on your juiciest goals. Find a link to the program in the show notes or go to itsadhdfriendly.com/D2A. That's letter D, number two, letter A, which stands for Distraction Action. Head there now to get your focus on and become a follow-through ninja. Now back to the show. Thank you for listening. For links and resources for this podcast, please visit itsadhdfriendly.com or click the link in the show description. Please also be sure to subscribe so you get automatic updates when new shows are posted. And of course, please do leave us an ADHD-friendly review. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.